There's not anyone in the room that doesn't deal with that because we're selfish by nature. Many say, you know, what will you give me? And what's in it for me? Or what will it profit me? And we go on and on and on. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul said, I have no man like-minded. He's speaking to the church there at Philippi. He says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. He said, I have no one to send you. I have no one to help. No one, because everyone seeks their own. We'll never find happiness in life. I love this statement. This is Dr. Barber's statement. You'll never find happiness in life if your favorite charity is you. I like that one. That's a good one. You may exist, but you're not living if you're living for yourself. You may exist, but you're not living if you're living for yourself. When self is the master, everyone else becomes a slave. Me first people are ugly on the inside and become very jealous, self-centered, and self-serving. Really, it comes all about self. We think of Judas as a great example of that. And he was greedy and betrayed the Lord for the price of a slave. Ananias and Sapphira, remember the story? Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. They saw all the church people selling stuff and selling land and giving the money to the church, and they said, and seeing all the attention they were getting, and they said, you know what, we'll go sell our land. And they went and sold their land, but they got a lot of money for it. They said, you know what, if we just bring back half the price or part of the price, we'll still get the attention, but we don't have to give it all. Brought that before, and Ananias brought that before Paul and gave it, and Paul said, was that all? I'm now summarizing. Did you sell the whole thing, and this is what you got? Oh, yeah. Holy Spirit killed him right there. Remember the story? Excuse me. And then Sapphira, I got a cough, by the way. So if I cough a few times, we'll be fine. I'm sorry. That's irritating. But we'll be all right. Sapphira, and then Ananias and Sapphira. Sapphira came in. Same thing. Did you sell it? No. Yes. And she died right there. Why? Me self. Me mentality. Mine. My money. I want the attention, but I don't want to give it all. We better be careful about lying to God, by the way. That'll get you in trouble. Greed. Greed tightens a person's fist and ties a knot in his pocketbook. Greed. Greed. Me first. What's in it for me? I tell you, this affects everyone. It affects everyone. In the ministry, it affects the pastor. It affects us who deliver the message. And if we're not careful, we look at people in that way. For instance, there's a time in ministry, and when I would, especially early on in the church's existence, when one new family makes a big difference. And so when they came in and visited, we basically sat around and you think, here's what they could do for the church. You know? And that's the way you look at them. If you're not careful in ministry, Brother Wiggins will testify, you begin to see people as instruments to be used. And I can't lie up here and say that I still don't do that from time to time and say, boy, I'd love to see that family join the church. They could do this, you know. I'm not even talking about money. I'm just talking about, hey, they can run this ministry or they could do this ministry or whatever. And you begin to look at it, how it will help me. So we can use people that way if we're not careful. I'm telling you, it affects everyone. No one is exempt from this me-first mentality. And it's not just about treasure of money, but it could be the treasure of talent, the treasure of people, the treasure, whatever it may be. We must be careful. Giving is a joy. It is a joy to give. And there are some people who still don't realize it. Love, and not just giving is a joy, but giving of love, giving of energy, giving of time, giving of money, giving of talents. All these things bring joy. All these things bring joy. It's a joy to give unto your kids. I haven't got to experience grandkids yet, but it's a joy to give grandkids. It's a joy to keep grandkids for like an hour and then send them back to their parents. Joy. An hour and more than that. You guys want more time than that. But it's a joy. It's a joy to give. And, you know, the simplest illustration is at Christmas. when we give at Christmas and what joy that brings as we watch our kids and loved ones open gifts that we have given them, the joy it brings. But that should be all year round as we give our time and our energy and our resources to others around us. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Give and it shall be given unto you. By the way, there's a twofold blessing. See there in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Twofold blessing, giving and getting. Now, we're not talking about TV evangelists getting. We're not talking about you give God 100, he gives you 1,000. Or if you give God 1,000, he gives you 10,000. But he did say, if you'll give, he'll bless you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. And by the way, it says, will he give unto your bosom? That means basically place it in your lap. There it is. I want to encourage you tonight. I hope you give. As you give, and we're not just talking about tithe, you ought to tithe. Tithe belongs to the Lord. Amen? Amen. The tithe belongs 10% before the government gets its hand in it. And they sure get their hand in it. Before the government gets its hand in it, you ought to give the 10%. God will bless that. But that's what you owe. The offering above that is your love and expressing your love for the Lord and the things of God. I encourage you, because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And God will bless you for giving. I don't know how many times people come to my office and said, Preacher, you, especially after Brother House has been here during Scripture Conference in January, Preacher, you talk about giving and I don't have any money to give. Listen, you can't afford not to give. You can do a lot more with the 90% than you can the 100%. The Bible talks about that, you know, if you keep the whole thing, it's like having a hole in your pocket. You put the money in your pocket, it just keeps, you know, trickling out. God will sew the pocket up. You give. Give and God will bless you for it. I can't stress that enough. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't gotten the habit of giving. I just can't tell you enough how God will bless you for it. God will bless you for it. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. When the Holy Spirit lives in us, the spirit of greediness should go out. As we become new creatures in Christ, we ought to become giving. Too many. This is another Dr. Barber quote. He uses the word get-itis as a disease. Most people got get-itis. Get-itis. It's a disease. We like stuff. Get all you can all you get, and set on the can, right? I've used that expression before. That's a good one. Get-itis is a terrible disease. God does not intend for your life to be a reservoir, but a channel. God does not want us to store up, but to pass on. We'll spend a little time here. As we think about that for a second, we are not to be storage tanks, but we're to be channels by which God gives us. We get, and then we give. Now, we're not talking to the extreme that you can't save for retirement. We're not talking about that. If you're going to be, you ought to be wise and save for retirement. Amen? Amen. But we are saying you ought to be generous givers. We ought to be generous givers. That we're not meant to be a reservoir. We're meant to be a channel for which God can give us things, give us talent, give us treasure, give us time, and then we give that out. What a wonderful experience it was to go to Israel and to get to see the Dead Sea. You've heard about it, read about it, see pictures, but none of it does justice to it. But when you get there and you drive, off the mountain there in Jerusalem and drive down to that Dead Sea Valley, man, what a picture. And to see that sea out in front of you. And then to get out of it and swim in it. You can't sink in it. I tried. You cannot. Literally, I stood up like this in the water. Stood straight up. You know, my water's right here. You can't sink in it. I don't care what you try. It's impossible. It's amazing. Feels weird. It's nice. There's no effort to float, just float along. But the Dead Sea is just that. It's dead. Why? Because there's no channel going out of it. It only receives water. It doesn't give out water. One day it will. Prophecy says it will one day. It'll be opened up and become alive. What a day that will be. Wish that was today. But that's exactly the picture of us. As we take in, we should give out. Or else what happens? We die. We die spiritually. We lose that joy. We lose the joy. Another application. As a church, we need to be careful of this as well. As a church, we're not a reservoir. We're not to take things in and never give out. We've stated this philosophy many times over the years. Heritage Baptist Church doesn't have a large sum sitting somewhere in a bank. It's just not there. And it's never going to be there as long as you let this pastor, or if you want to get, you know, if you want to save a bunch of money and put it in some CD somewhere, go right ahead. But I don't want to be a part of that. Unless we're saving for something. If we're saving for a building or something, I understand that. But just to save money for saving money's sake? No. No. You know, a little money set aside for an emergency? Yeah? No. Let's put it out, amen? Win more souls. Do more ministry. Buy another van. Whatever. You know, get involved. Use the money. Our mission account doesn't have, a big lump sum sitting there. There's not $100,000 sitting in our mission account. There's $5,000 sitting in our mission account. We just bring it in and give it out. Amen? I believe that's the way it should be. We're not a reservoir. We're just a channel. You give and I give weekly in the offering, and we just give it out. And we try to be good stewards, and I appreciate our finance team and working together to be good stewards of it. But we're not a reservoir. We're a channel. And we're to do that as individuals as well. As individuals. Give, and it shall be given unto you. When you learn to give, God will have men just dump the returns in your lap. When you shut up the outflow, your intake becomes your downfall, and you drain yourself in the cesspool of self-centeredness. There's also another saying behind that, but I won't go into that one. Number three, greed twists a person's perspective out of balance. When you're only interested in you, your priorities get you throw you off track. They're no longer in order. In other words, when I have me in first place in my priority, I'm off balance. I shouldn't be me first. It's the Lord first. Then it's my family and my church. And I'm somewhere way down the list. But that's not what humanism teaches. And that's not the world what the world teaches out there. It's not what it teaches, is it? Listen, I'm down the list somewhere. Listen, if I take care of others, God will take care of me. Amen. Philippians teaches us that. Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We ought to take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. The Lord was a servant of servants, wasn't he? He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. I love this little poem, and again, these lessons are kind of based off of Dr. Barber's, one of his books, and the little poem he put in there, it says, I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests in all, I, myself, and me. Myself ate the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. 'Twas also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me. We have so many times we get out of balance. Greed and selfishness puts envy in our hearts and in the soul. We need to continue to strive to be Christ-like, and to be Christ-like is to be selfless. Others first. Yes, Lord, others first. Others. How do we overcome greed? Well, determine, number one, that it's a sin. Greed is a sin. The middle letter of the word sin is I. How do we get rid of sin? The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we do get that me mentality, and it happens to us from time to time, more often than not probably, we need to go to God and say, Lord, I've allowed myself to become the center of my life instead of you. Again, Brother Russell did such a great job with that Sunday night. It's not about me, it's about Him. And when He's in proper perspective, and when He is our priority, when we seek Him first, every other priority falls in line. It's amazing how that happens. When your relationship with God is right, your relationship with your fellow man will be right. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. As we think about that, we remember that It's not something we make ourselves to. It's not something we can muster up. But God will give us that. God will give us the mind of Christ as we ask for it. Number two, we develop a set of values based upon biblical principles. What do you value the most? Well, it's what you invest in the most. I think most of us could just go to our checkbook. Well, now go to your bank statement on the computer, because nobody gets bank statements anymore unless you print them off. The world's changed, hasn't it? And look through there. Most of the time, a lot of times our priorities, especially money-wise, can be determined by looking at our bank account. What do you spend the most time doing? What do you invest the most time in? Where are you investing your talents? As Russell, I hate, again, bring it up, but Russell, that's a good message Sunday night. Where's your treasure at? There will your heart be also. Making a life is far more important than making a living. I love that statement. Making a life is far more important than making a living. Your kids are more important than your job. Your spouse is more important than your job. Your church is more important than your job. I think the job many times gets way up there, and the job should be fourth or fifth on the list. Well, get your priorities straight. It'll make your life worth living. Life was not meant to be endured, it's meant to be enjoyed. And if you're going to enjoy life, you've got to be a giver. And we're not talking about just giving to the church. We're talking about giving to others around you. Be a generous giver. Be generous with your time. As we've said, love to a child is spelled T-I-M-E. Mom and daddy working all the time and never spending time with their kids, you're showing where your love is. Oh, but I got to provide for the home. And I understand there's times and you have to put food on the table. But a child has a hard time understanding that. Making a life is far more important than making a living. So as we overcome greed, we must understand and know that it's a sin. And then we must adopt biblical principles that God should come first and family should come second and church should come third. And my job, again, is down there fourth or fifth or sixth on the list. Number three, dedicate yourself to the cause that will outlast you. Invest in eternity. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 15. Invest in a cause that will outlast you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but is of the world. Look at verse 17. And the world what? Passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God what? Abideth forever. The most important thing you can do in this life is the will of God. God's will. The most important thing that a young person can do is find the will of God and stay in it. Doing the will of God lasts forever. The will of God in your family, the will of God in your personal life, the will of God at your job, the will of God when it comes to buying a car, the will of God when it comes to buying a home, the will of God when it comes to investments, the will of God when it comes to our time spent, the will of God, invest in those things that will last. Invest in your family. That's going to last. You're not going to bring your money with you to heaven, but your family will be there if they're saved, right? Invest in your family. Invest in a Sunday school class. If you want to invest in eternity, invest in a Sunday school class. Spend the time and energy it takes to visit a Sunday school class and bring treats for a Sunday school class and sing songs with your Sunday school class and study for your Sunday school class and work the Sunday school class. The investment will last forever. The investment in Master Club starts up here in a couple of weeks. You teachers and workers in Master Club, that's an investment in eternity. And then treat it that way. Study, prepare, work, be prepared, invest in those things which will last. Invest in eternity. Invest in winning souls. Those are the things that last. I had an opportunity this week to go with Brother Dan Alexander to a meeting of oil field people for lunch. And a man from Travis Avenue Baptist Church was the speaker for that day. He was an engineer. He spoke for 30, 35 minutes. Man was in his middle 50s. And he was a mechanical engineer, but he travels all over America, engineering stuff. But you know what? He was, everywhere he went, he witnessed. He told story after story after story of being on a plane and leading someone to Christ. An engineer, not a preacher, not an associate pastor, an engineer, not even a Sunday school teacher, though he helps in the Sunday school class, and he's a backup teacher. I was just so impressed. Clear presentation of the gospel, crystal clear, right on the money, and just talked about how he stopped one time and did talk to a homeless man and offered and just he literally said he probably told 20 stories about people that he had witnessed to, helped, or done. He wasn't prideful in any way. It wasn't meant that way. I was just so impressed by his testimony. Selfless, selfless man. Invest in eternity. That person you witness to that does get saved, going to be in heaven. Invest in eternity. Invest in things that will last. Witnessing for Christ. All these things will outlast you, whatever it may be. You say, well, I greet at the door. That'll outlast you. I can't tell you enough how wonderful it is to be a part of a church that is friendly, caring, and kind. We get it all the time. We'll go do a follow-up visit, and people say, your church is so friendly. Amen. I say, well, first, it's not my church, but yeah, our church is so friendly. It's awesome. The first impression makes such a big difference. Oh, I enjoy hearing the choir and enjoy the first impressions make such a difference. You shaking a person's hand at the door and showing them where to go to Sunday school makes a big difference. That's investing eternity. You keeping some snotty-nosed kid in the nursery, that's investing in eternity. Helping in children's church on a rotation basis every 5 or 6 weeks, investing in eternity. Invest in eternity. Invest in stuff. Invest in people that will outlast you. Invest in things that will outlast you. Just a repeat of Brother Russell's sermon Sunday night. Just in a different way. It's amazing how the Bible's made up of about 25 different subjects. And all you do is preach them in different fashions. It's amazing. I'm talking about main subjects, okay? All right. Let's all stand. The attitude of greed. God will not be nearly as interested in where you came from as He will in how many you brought with you. Think about that for a moment. As we get to heaven, it'll be about what you invested in eternity. What are you spending your resources on? What are you spending your time doing? What are you spending your talents doing? Because those are the things that will last long after you've died and gone on to be with Jesus. Let's invest in eternity. Lord, we thank you, God, for these biblical principle. I pray tonight that you would help us, encourage us, strengthen us, that we might invest in things that will outlast us. We thank you, Lord, for this truth. Help us, Lord, to deny self, to take up our cross and follow you. Well, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 351, wherever he leads, I'll go. May the Lord touch your heart.